are listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. It's Tuesday, and commentator Gary Joyner is with us now. Today, he marks a military milestone that hits close to home.
Today marks the 40th anniversary of a milestone in military aviation. 207 B-52D and G models of the Strategic Air Command and the U.S. 7th Air Force, with F-111A fighter bombers and 2,000 U.S. Navy intruder bombers and Phantom fighter bombers, conducted 11 straight days of bombing North Vietnamese primary targets from December 18th to the 29th in 1972. The code name for the operation was Linebacker 2. The predecessor to this offensive, Linebacker 1, was executed by tactical fighter bombers between May and October of that same year. The size and weight of the B-52 bomb loads added to the effectiveness and psychological effects of the missions. To understand the importance of the second great aerial bombing offensive of 1972, one has to see it in the context of the time. The United States was war-weary, and protests against the war had been raging in cities across the country for several years. Republican President Richard Nixon had inherited the war from his Democratic Party predecessor, Lyndon B. Johnson. Neither party seemed to be able to find a path to victory, exit the war gracefully, or call it a tie and let the Vietnamese hash it out. Nixon believed that when Congress convened the next month, funding would be slashed. The U.S. and North Vietnamese had held peace talks in Paris. This seemed like a folly to most people who paid attention. The talks dragged on for most of 1972, and the sides bickered from the beginning, starting with the shape of the table in the conference room where they met. The North Vietnamese enjoyed using the press to show how easily they could manipulate America. Nixon's chief negotiator was Henry Kissinger, arguably the best diplomat in that period. He made a statement to the press that peace is at hand, but the North Vietnamese used the opportunity to leave the negotiations. Nixon decided to conduct the bombing campaign to bring the North Vietnamese back to the table. Although it would strain the Pentagon budget, he committed a vast force of Air Force and Navy assets to bomb the North into submission or to return it to negotiations. The B-52s were based at Anderson Air Force Base on Guam and at Udorn and Utapau in Thailand. Over the next 11 days, the bombers went for targets that had previously been forbidden: power plants, rail yards, bridges, military command and control facilities, airfields, and surface air missile batteries. Most of these were in and near the North's only two main cities, the capital of Hanoi and the main port of Haiphong. The bombers carried out 729 sorties and dropped over 15,000 tons of bombs. Another 212 sorties were flown within South Vietnam against the Viet Cong guerrillas and North Vietnamese forces operating there. 15 B-52s and 12 tactical aircraft were lost, mostly to missiles. 10 B-52s received moderate to heavy damage. The North announced on December 26 that they would return to the Paris talks. Nixon halted the bombing on December 29th. But with the understanding that they would begin again if negotiations were not taken seriously. Both sides returned on January 9, 1973. An agreement that had been proposed by Kissinger the previous October was accepted, and the peace accords were signed on January 27. Today, Barksdale Air Force Base's Global Strike Museum is the home of the last B-52D to return with battle damage. When you look up at a B-52 soaring gracefully above us, think about those planes and those air crews who helped end that long war 40 years ago, and why their history matters.